Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Last night's prime time confirmed the worst fears of some parents about what happens when they drop their little ones off. The employees, some of whom have already lost their jobs, are most immediately to blame for the treatment of the children featured. But what role might the business model of these creches play in what happened? Poorly paid staff, in some instances, supervising too many children on behalf of employers earning several multiples what they're earning. Philip Boucher-Hayes joins me. What have you found, Philip?
An industry, Mary, with a very high turnover of staff, 10 to 15% monthly, which is really hardly surprising when you look closely at how staff are regarded. Regardless of the level of qualification that they will bring to the job, the majority are on the minimum wage for what is a skilled profession. Unsupported in many instances, very poorly rewarded, the employee's position would be in stark contrast to that of the business's owners, who by and large have done very well out of the expansion of demand for childcare places in the last few years. The frontline staff, obviously, and there is no excusing this, are the people who must take the most immediate responsibility for what we saw on our screens last night. But you can't really divorce their actions entirely from the conditions of their employment. So it's worthwhile taking a look at the companies behind the creches that were featured and focused on by Primetime.
And we will. We'll go through each of the three facilities. Giraffe in Steppeside. Will you remind us what happened there?
What we saw on last night's Primetime was the creche in Bellarmine in Steppeside. And we saw staff shouting at distressed children. The footage also showed children being left strapped into chairs for hours. In one case, for up to 2 hours, there was one child left facing a fridge strapped into a chair. And it's also possible that the diaries detailing what the children were supposed to or did do and were fed and so on every day may have been fabricated.
And how much money does Giraffe receive? How much state money, how much public money for the free preschool year?
The ECCE year. They got just under €1 million for the current preschool year.
OK, what about their profitability? What have you found?
Giraffe was a limited company until 2010, so I could tell you how profitable it was then, but then it went unlimited. That means now that 99% of its shares are now owned by a company called Yokota, which is registered in the Isle of Man. But all of the directors of Yokota are exactly the same as the directors of Giraffe Childcare. It's just moved its incorporation offshore. So because of this new arrangement, I can only tell you how profitable it was back in 2010-2009. In that year, they had a turnover in excess of €14 million, but posted a loss of €200,000. So they didn't pay a dividend, but their director's remuneration averages out at €110,000 each, was what three directors took out of the company that was posting a loss. Now, I did a little bit of crude maths on the number of employees on the payroll and their payroll costs, and it would suggest an average salary of their employees would be about €350 per week, or just under €9 per hour. What that means is that the directors of the company, in a year when the company was making a loss, were paying themselves six times what they paid their employees on minimum wage.
Who are the directors, the three directors?
There's actually more than three directors, but the three who would be best known perhaps is Mary-Ann McCormack, who's the founder and joint managing director, one third owner of the company. She set up Giraffe in 2000, and it's interesting the kind of business model that she was obviously intent on pursuing at that time, because they went looking for venture capital in 2002. Now, the childcare sector would not have been thought of as particularly profitable. And in her pitch to potential investors, she stressed that Giraffe would be able to become profitable and overcome the sector's high payroll costs and the cost of regulations through, in her words, increased economies of scale. This, she promised, would make Giraffe's facilities more financially rewarding. Now, her business partner, Simon Dowling, likened their model of childcare to that of the leisure sector, which there was gyms mushrooming up all over the place at that point in time. He said that the dynamics between the two sectors were very similar, something I'm sure that most parents would actually disagree with. But he said that they had operated or modelled their business on an idea where they were looking for similar locations to gyms, and they had been talking to the same type of investors who have been looking at the leisure industry. The most well-known of the directors of the company would be the tech entrepreneur turned property speculator Tony Kilduff, a man who appeared in the Sunday Times Rich List a few years ago. And his personal wealth was estimated at €14 million. He's the owner of a Prada store on Old Bond Street in London, as well as many properties around the place. Mr. Kilduff would also be a director of the Mater Hospital and the Kappa National Orthopaedic Hospitals. I think what this just shows you, though, is that there is a very, very big divide between the money behind the business and the money that's being extracted from this business or these businesses and what is being paid out to staff.
All right. The next one we look at is Lynx in Malahide. And again, remind us what we saw on primetime last night.
The footage of the Lynx crash in Malahide shows children being cursed at by care workers and a baby who wouldn't go to sleep being picked up and roughly slammed back down onto a mattress. And I think the image that sticks out in many people's head now probably is Twinkle Twinkle Little Star playing in the background while a child is being shouted at.
Public money in this case?
329,000 last year, 353,000 in 2012.
Profitability?
Jumped by $500,000 last year, up to $1.7 million. The two directors of the company, Porig and Deirdre, don't say in the accounts how much they have taken in remuneration, but they do note that €600,000 annually has been taken in rent in the course of the last few years. And Porig, Kelly, has taken almost €200,000 in interest-free loans as a director of the company since 2009.
Now, the directors...
Sorry, and I should say that again... Yeah. The rate of pay for staff is about €18,000 a year, even where they were coming to the job with FITAC level 5 qualifications.
Porrick and Deirdre, the directors, who are they?
Porrick was in the auto trade, predictably not doing that well at the moment. Deirdre Kelly, somebody who styled herself on their website as Dublin's answer to Super Nanny.
The third one, Little Harvard in Rathnew in County Wicklow. Now, again, what did Primetime tell us last night about Little Harvard?
I think that one of the things that people will remember from this is the one-year-old child being shut behind a closed door for a number of minutes as a punishment for crying.
And the public money, what did they get for the preschool year from the state?
€463,000 this year, quite a lot of money.
Were you able to check their profitability?
The shareholders and the directors at Little Harvard are Regina McGovern and James Hargrave. The company had accumulated profits by the end of 2010 of €325,000. So it is a profitable business, but I can't tell from the accounts that have been filed how profitable in each year. But it has been able to pay James and Regina rent to the tune of €500,000 in 2010 and €625,000 in the year before that. But still no idea of the actual remuneration that they are receiving or whether that covers their all their expenses. But presumably, as they're still trading, it must.
And who are the directors?
Well, interestingly, Regina McGovern, when she set up this business, which has very successfully expanded, was taken to court by the HSE back in 2005. And she admitted to 5 breaches of the childcare regulations back at that time. She was found to, when an inspector called, to have been operating 2 different rooms where the child to adult ratio broke regulations, and also the area that was supposed to be the outdoor play area was actually full of building materials. Her lawyer at the time said that she was most apologetic and would ensure, this was back in 2005, that there would be no repetition.
Philip Boucher-Hayes, thank you very much.